12.1, which has a bunch of balance and bug changes. Now, unfortunately, there is a bug that's making servers crash the second time you load Jensen's range up. We think that Norby may have just fixed it, and the build is done in roughly 20 minutes. But if it isn't, we are basically saying, would you guys see it as a problem if we push it out with that bug in? It doesn't affect any other map except Jensen's range, and not on local as far as I know. So it's only when servers change map to Jensen's range for the second time they will crash. Would you see that as a problem if that goes out, and it will probably be fixed in a few days later? Or would you rather keep it unpushed until it's fixed? Norby, what were you going to say?
Yeah, well, maybe a little bit of background there. Some of the changes we did for 12.1 was to address load times. And what we did was, instead of the way loading worked up until now, was that your main thread determined what should be loaded. Say you load a map, and then you need a Russian faction. And that Russian faction then needs a soldier, and that soldier needs a weapon. And that weapon needs an optic, so it would load the optic, and then the weapon, and then the soldier. And in the end, it could load that faction and then the map. So just down the list of dependencies. And what we did was have a different thread now for the loading. So it's async now, and it's also event-driven, so it doesn't go down the dependency chain, but it's based on loading events, so it doesn't need to double-check whether something already has been loaded or not. And the idea is, of course, during loading, you will always be limited by your storage, whether that's hard drive or SSD. And the idea is that we minimize the downtime where we don't access your hard drive or SSD during loading. And we have seen significant improvements loading time for everyone, independent of whether they use SSD or hard drive. And of course, we would like to release those optimizations. But one thing that we couldn't figure out so far is why this loading is incompatible with Jensen's range when it gets reloaded. Obviously, it has to do with how stuff is unloaded, garbage collected, and then loaded the next time. And we think it's replicated variables that are unique in Jensen's range. And the fix attempt is now to remove the shoot house functionality, which is something that's replicated on the server, and try to see if that fixes it. But if not, we would basically release for that. And we don't really know when we could fix it, to be honest. There's no, like, it will be fixed in a few days. It's not likely at this point. So if anyone thinks that's a problem, loading Jensen's range for the second time, crashing the server, please speak up.
It would basically be mostly match servers for tournaments that does it. And we can probably just inform them that do not load Jensen's range. Do not use that as your intermediate maps between rounds. Should not really be. But yeah, if you have any problems with it, speak now or forever hold your peace, or you will be married to your guest.
Okay, well, that's good. Still hoping that it's fixed with the removal of the shoot house functionality. But yeah, if not, I think we'll be good to release anyway.
All right, splendid. With that out of the way, we will simply go in the, we'll discuss V12 in all its glory, and we'll deep dive into the subjects that are listed in the feedback channel. And I am lazy, so I'm just going to go from the list upwards, from starting with suppression and downwards. And at the end, we'll have a little bit of everyone speak, whatever. I am just going to make the channel for the ones and twos and threes.
And threes?
I don't think we ever had threes.
No.
Basically, they're easy. Once we move in, one is for if you want to make a new point. Two is if you want to respond to what someone else previously said. I will give the word to everyone. And as usual, I think I'm seeing some new names here. So basically, everything goes. You're allowed to say whatever you want as long as you're polite and professional and mature and an adult. If you're not, I'm going to remove you, and this is the only warning you'll ever get. Has never been a problem, so I doubt it will be this time, but I'm just going to mention it anyway because I like playing, 1940s Germany. With that, we're kicking off with suppression, and with that, I'll also say that we have fixed pistols and knives causing suppression effects in 12.1. Other than that, there are no suppressant changes coming in 12.1. Other than that, so go ahead.
Well, I guess it should be said that we're not really happy with how suppression is. We know that it doesn't have the exact results that we want at this point, but it takes more time to take a different design approach to get the desired results. For
We were looking at tweaks for 12.1, but we simply did not have time. Go ahead, Doc.
So what is your design wish for suppression? That's my question.
Fussy, how's your throat? Do you want to answer or do you want me to take it?
What was your question, Doc?
What is your design wish for suppression? Because you said that it wasn't what you want it to be right now. So what would you like it to be? And what are you aiming for? Because right now the suppression is not fun to deal with. So I was wondering what you're changing it to.
I wouldn't say it's not in game right now. It's better than no suppression. There's just some small tweaks. We don't have enough variables on the blueprint to change with regards to how many shooters are shooting and how much suppression that's causing. So basically, it doesn't account for unique shooters. It only accounts for the volume of fire. So if we could get something like that without being performant, that would be ideal.
So you want to change it from the amount of shooters shooting to the amount of volume of fire that's actually, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, basically right now it's only based on the volume of fire. We don't have a fine way to tune it where you're being shot at by one guy.
And I see.
Basically the 1v1 fights I know I've been complained about. Although, you know, squad's not a 1v1 game, we understand that feedback. So we're trying to, but with the, basically the range of options we have, variables we have, we're not able to really fine tune that without affecting the rest of the system. So
what is the time frame on getting that fixed? Do you have an idea, or is it just kind of
we'll be looking at it in the next the new year kind of thing?
Okay.
It requires programming, just so that you're informed. It's a little bit of a system redesign because right now it looks at projectiles, and we need to take shooters into account. It's not something that was in the original design.
Gotcha.
Pliskin, go ahead.
Yeah, I heard there was something about like focusing, reducing some of the suppression effects. Is that something that will be up for 12.1, or was that removed?
Focus basically reduces sway, and since focus is more effective in V12, it has an effect. So should be better in one versus one situations, but if you're shooting enough bullets, it will still have suppression. So it's not a fix per se.
Okay.
Oni, go ahead.
Concerning the suppression, thinking about how it works in the game right now and the future, would it be an idea, or are you guys thinking of having different radii affecting suppression to different degrees in the future. So a bullet flying 10 meters past you has a very mild effect. One flying within 5 meters, twice as much. And one flying within 1.5 meters of you has the most effect or something along those lines. Is that intended?
Yeah, that's definitely a good option. Of this being the first pass on it, you know, we're just keeping it simple. Whether that's something easy to do or not, not sure yet. But yeah, that's a good suggestion.
Copy, thanks.
Steezy?
I just joined, but if you guys talked about the size of the radius and reducing it.
That's something that I just brought up, but it was in general about suppression and coming changes in the future where they want to account for people shooting also, so a number of people firing on someone, aside from only looking at volume.
Well, yeah, what you just talked about was like having the range be smarter, but I'm just saying a stopgap, have you guys thought about just straight up making that radius smaller to begin with?
When we first tried it with 5 meters, it wasn't very effective. So we tried a bunch of different ranges, and we ended up just sticking with the 10-meter range.
Because I think 10 meters is way too big, and that's the feedback I've got from a lot of people.
Yeah, fair enough. Definitely, different projectiles could have different ranges. Right now, we have the small arms. And at 10 meters, dropping it down to 5 could be a solution. But when we did try it with 5 in the initial runs, it was just not very it didn't affect the firefights that much. But
the problem for me and is it creates a disconnect between what you're seeing and what's happening. Like, because if it's landing next to you, then you're like, okay, I'm suppressed and I'll take the appropriate action. But when you are standing there and you're getting a suppression effect and you can see the bullets landing 10 meters away, you're like, okay, that guy's not shooting at me. He's not anywhere near hitting me. I should be able to react to that. And it just creates a disconnect between what your character effects are and what you should be able to do in that situation.
Yeah, it rewards too much for inaccuracy. At that point, right? So like there's a player, especially in like, I know you don't want to do 1v1 fights, but there's a player shooting, he's missing you by 10 meters and you're being penalized for that. It's kind of just frustrating, right? Like it's just not fun to deal with.
To add to that, on the receiving end, it can also cause a bit of confusion as to whether or not you're the guy that's actually being shot.
Yeah, fair enough. Good points.
Yeah,
I think if it was tweaked to the point that the guys were making, then you could even add the suppression to friendlies. Like if it was such a good system, then you can like freely add it to the friendlies without it being I think I read like an article saying like not to bring like realism into it too much, but like if small arms fire, it's like the suppressive effect of it isn't like necessarily 10 meters. It's more like right next to you or like hitting somewhere close to you and not like just in the general direction necessarily. But I think like because I think there's like a 20 meter, like within 20 meters it won't even activate at all because it proved too uninteresting gameplay. But like if the suppression system was designed like really well, then I think you could remove all of this kind of like artificial stopgaps.
I think the best feeling that you could get would be a combination of 3 or 4 different zones of radii that has a different level of effect on you combined with what's the size of the bullet.
Yeah, for sure. Also, we got to keep in mind performance and whatnot. What were you saying again, Pliskin? Sorry, I didn't catch that part about...
No, I just feel like there's a lot of like kind of artificial stopgaps with the current suppression system. For example, like friendlies can't get suppressed because that's too annoying. And if the enemy is like within 10 meters, then it doesn't activate. I feel like it's stopgaps to kind of like patch up an unfinished system. But I think if the system was really polished, then you could kind of remove these stopgaps and like, for example, with some of the points the other guys made. I think that...
Yeah, for sure. Dynamic range or dynamic based on how the proximity of the bullet, you know, within that. So at 10 meters, for example, it just barely gives you any suppression. And then, you know, coming right to your face, much, much closer suppression or much harder suppression. Yeah. It could be a potential, right? Yeah, I mean, we're just kind of trialing out this system. I think overall, from an overall gameplay perspective, it has really introduced a lot more, like, longer firefights, more engagements, more you know, actual firefights, which we really like to see. But yeah, there is a whole bunch of little issues with it that do need to be addressed. Whether it needs to be a whole rewrite of it or tweaks, we'll have to see in the next development cycle. The overall feel of it, we've gotten a lot of good feedback. From various players, but we would like to hear all you guys. You know, I know most of feedback here is negative so far, so I mean, we'd take that into consideration.
Well, I mean, this is the feedback you're getting from all of us, and it's pretty much the same. I think the system is positive, but the way it is set up right now is there's too many negatives with it to make the positives sort of shine. Like, the range is way too big. The one-on-one stuff is just silly. Like, it doesn't add anything to the game because it's just looks awkward. It's just two people failing to hit each other. It's not beneficial in any way. And it's not enjoyable in any way.
Yeah,
just, and one-on-one engagements happened all the time. Like, you can say that it's a team game, but due to the nature of the maps and how people are spread out, and then how people find each other. One-on-one engagements is 90% of your engagements.
Yeah, so some of this might be addressed with the focus. To me personally, from what I've seen in game, I've not really noticed the suppression the way you guys have related it. But I mean, everybody plays it as a different play style, right? So, but you know, anecdotal evidence is a is anecdotal, so we'll have to continue monitoring it, and we will definitely we might have to rewrite some of the core components of it, but yeah, it's all good feedback. Thanks, guys. You can keep going down the list if everyone wants to give their piece.
Yeah, Plissken and Stace, you have the last words. Plissken, go.
Yeah, just to give like my direct feedback on it, just feels like a bit artificial right now, and it's kind of like forcing a certain style of gameplay, whereas where it already existed. Because if a guy has a better position, he has a better position and will have the advantage in the firefight. Whereas now it's kind of like if a guy is like peeking around the corner and holding it, and you can only see his head, and if he starts shooting at you, it's literally impossible sometimes to hit him back. It's like he can be the worst shooter in the game, and you still won't hit him as long as he keeps tapping that left button. I did that kind of like artificial forcing of a certain gameplay. I really dislike in a game like Squad, which like aims to be complex and deep and like have emergent gameplay mechanics and such. Like, that's what I have to say about it.
Stace?
I did try the way the focus reduces the suppression effect a lot in the 12.1 playtest I was talking to you about it first. And I actually really like that system, and I would encourage you guys to explore that system more. I know it's kind of a byproduct of other stuff, but it actually works quite well because it stops, like, it, I mean, you still get suppressed from one shooter, which I think does have positives in certain situations, but it means you can't keep moving and shoot back accurately, which is something we should be trying to nerf anyway, because the whole moving left, right, leaning left, right, trying to offset your character model and then return accurately is not exactly ideal. But having the focus like having you actually focus through the suppression effect, I think A, it's a little bit realistic, and B, it actually has quite positive gameplay outcomes where you stop, stabilize, and shoot back accurately, and you can't do the whole movement leaning thing that we kind of need to reduce anyway.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. I think that's a good point, because right now you can just lean left, right, you do the Connor wiggle, that's what I call it, because Connor likes to do it. You just lean left, right, and you have like no penalty for that. But having that ability to focus prevents you from moving. It would be a nice little gameplay mechanic, I think, because it'll force you to stop moving.
Yeah, yeah, well, we'll see it in the, you know, upcoming patch there, and we'll adjust accordingly. Yeah, we definitely want to do even further to avoid that whole weird matrixing leanings. You know, we just haven't gotten around to it yet, but there's a couple other things, like with regards to movement, and, you know, you can jump and then prone in midair kind of things. Weird, but we'll see what gets exploited, what's not, but definitely the leaning is still being exploited for which we don't want, but yeah, good feedback, Steve. We'll have to see how it plays out. I think what's going to happen is in those scenarios where you're 1v1ing, because you're going to be able to focus, I think it'll be reduced, the amount of annoyingness of the suppression. But yeah, it's tough, because we did a lot of testing with suppression early on, and there was a long gap where we didn't have testing, but it's not easy to test in the editor. You can't test in the editor, and having artificial situations with the suppression, just it doesn't translate to what actually happens in game, right? So it's one of these systems that you really have to have iterative testing with it, with like live, you know, testing with preferably a lot of players to get a good system in. And I think it was one of those things that we had a system in place. We thought we had all the variables we needed, and it turns out it's we need a little bit more of a complex system than we anticipated. But that being all said, I still think it's a system that just does encourage a little more of the kind of firefights we want to see. So we're, you know, I know it's not ideal at the moment, but yeah, just give it a try again with 12.1 there's also, you know, obviously the, which we'll be getting to, the weapon handling changes and everything with the focus. And yeah, some of the weird exploity stuff like the pistols and especially the knife that's been removed. So hopefully I'll produce some of this silliness of it.
Oni, you have 15 seconds.
Pretty simple question. Everybody's talking about sway and gun handling effects from suppression, but what about stamina? Is it ever intended that you lose stamina faster while getting suppressed and trying to do stuff, or that you recover stamina slower?
Yeah, we haven't dived into that section yet, but is something we've discussed internally. No, I don't have any definite yes or no on that, but yeah, it is a possibility in the future for sure.
I think it would really add to being able to fix a position, especially if enemies have just come running.
Yep, I agree.
All right, moving on to V12 vehicle gameplay. And there's a few changes in 12.1 I figured I should mention. Turret damage is going to be a thing. Turret disabling is going to be a thing. And it's quite a long thing, but basically you will be able to hurt the turret, and there will be three states: broken, not usable, and slightly reduced functionality, basically. W, A, S, and D. Sorry, go ahead.
Let's describe it, actually. So the turret has health just as a vehicle has health. And below 50% health, your stabilization just doesn't work if it's a turret stabilization. And then the movement speed of the turret slows down gradually from 50% health to 0% health, where at 0% health, it almost doesn't move at all anymore. You can repair them with a handheld repair tool, but only up to 25% health. So you never get stabilization back with the handheld repair tool, and you only get half your turret speed back with the handheld repair tool.
And with that, we also add the ability to move turrets with arrow keys, except the KPVT, NSVT, and PKT turrets.
KPVT.
And 84 has been buffed, and we've tweaked vehicles. I'll actually just type them instead so you can actually remember.
84 now does damage like all the other heads, but it still has reduced penetration. In the long run, 84 is meant to be an alternate ledge for US, but because we still don't have a head for blue 4, that's just 84 is filling that role for.
That's the damage change. There's a few other changes coming as well, but that's for the change log. We're not here to discuss them. So yeah, go ahead.
You said I was good to go there, Nordic.
Huh? Oh, my. I said that we're not going to discuss the entire change log here, but there's the damage change. We start with you, Spartan. Go ahead.
All right. It's just a really quick question because I really don't know how you guys designed the game for the tank rounds, the AP. Did you guys design them at all to where they keep the same velocity and stopping power after, like, let's just say they bounce off a vehicle or bounce off the ground?
No, the balances are purely visual. There's penetration, and when it hits something, and that material allows penetration, it will continue and look for something else to it. Say if you hit a wooden fence with a tank round, it will just continue and look for the next thing to hit with almost no reduction in damage. If you hit the tank and manage to penetrate through it, maybe an IFV, you probably won't be able to go all the way through a tank, but say you hit an IFV, it will go through the IFV, but hit something behind it with much reduced capability. But the bouncing of rounds does no damage. That's purely visual.
Okay. I was just wondering, is like the other day I was in one of the servers and a T-72 shot a MAT-V. The round bounced off the MAT-V, hit the Abrams in the turret, ammo racked it. I didn't know if you guys designed the rounds or anything like that to lose like stopping power after getting ricocheted.
Well, as I said, they lose stopping power from penetration, but if it's ricochet hitting it, then that's purely visual and won't do anything. So what you've seen is there are reduced penetration, but the MRAP is so thin in armor that it doesn't do much to a tank round, so it will still have a lot of energy after going right through it.
All right, thanks.
Oni?
Yeah, I looked at the little mini change log type thing for 12.1 in the official Discord, and I was wondering about the second line there. Vehicle damage has been tweaked and fixed. Okay, we got some clarity on that now. But particularly the last bit about some vehicles would not take damage as intended, and armor damage values have been changed for balance. So there were some unintended things going on and some bugs, and I was wondering if we could get some clarity on what those were, what's getting fixed specifically in 12.1, so that we can kind of understand what we've been seeing so far in version 12, what's been going wrong.
What we noticed is that inheritance is causing some issues in our vehicles, where you set up a T-72 and then you set up a variant of that, which is the desert variant. And then when you change something on the main T-72, it should apply to the child variant automatically. But some of that stuff didn't happen. So we found that there were minor differences between variants of vehicles, where the desert and the woodland variants wouldn't have the same behavior as the main variant. And that was causing a whole bunch of bugs across almost all vehicles. Specifically, the woodland Abrams turret did not take any damage. The desert T-72 turret did not take any damage, and so on.
So I bet that was a bit of a bitch.
Yeah, you know, whenever things that are supposed to work don't work anymore, it's really frustrating.
Cliffing, go ahead.
Okay, yeah, my question is sort of the ticket costs for vehicles, because with V12 they were significantly reduced, and now it sort of feels like you have these almost very indestructible vehicles in play, and it's kind of in some situation very difficult to eliminate them, but the ticket cost doesn't really, well, we feel like it doesn't really correspond to how hard it is to defeat those assets when they're in play. And I was kind of wondering if that was more to incentivize more vehicles being used during the game, or basically why such a significant ticket reduction was made.
Yeah, it's the, yeah, you're right. It's the well, we're trying to balance the vehicles more towards their use. Like, if you have a vehicle, you should be using it, because it is a combined arms game. So if this vehicle spawns back, we want people to get in that vehicle as soon as possible. So the primary balancing we intended was, well, a couple things that work into each other. The component damages, which are still not fully in, but basically, if your vehicle has been disabled, whether your turret, your tracks, wheels, engine, etc., has been disabled, you're kind of taken out of the fight, but you're not completely destroyed. And also the respawn value or respawn timer, they're all, well, for the tanks, it's 20 minutes, so it's fairly significantly high. So the punishment that you get for having the vehicle destroyed, or the reward that the player gets when he destroys a vehicle, is that that vehicle is not going to be around for a while. So rather than a ticket reward, we're more focused on the respawn reward.
I like that idea. I think that's good.
Okay, Aragorn, go ahead.
Okay, my feedback is about the half health engines and climbing slopes, and I don't know if it fixed in the next patch. Actually, it's almost impossible to climb with the half engines. Not the totally broken. Slopes, 5 to 10 degrees. If you are not taking a huge step, run up to climb it, and this is very important on the Mestia for the militia side. If you want to climb up to the main base with, for example, a logi track, it's rather impossible to get to the main base, repair your engine, and get the resource back onto the truck.
Yeah, we did get a bug fixed in the gearbox. Norby can explain more on it, but so it should be allowing trucks to do a little better in that steep angle climbing. I think the engines are able to be repaired to 50%. We haven't tested on all the maps yet, but I do believe they're still able to climb even with a 50% engine with the new the bug fixed.
Yeah, so basically what was happening was that the way gearbox, the gearbox is an automated manual gearbox, basically. It has a threshold for shifting a gear up and a threshold for shifting a gear down, RPM threshold. Now, what was happening for neutral gear was that it was ignoring the threshold. So what it did was, as soon as you move forward, press W, it would shift into first gear instead of revving up the engine first to a certain RPM threshold and then getting into gear and starting moving. It has a full-on clutch simulation, but those who are familiar with physics know that the clutch will translate the torque of the engine over to torque on the wheels, And then when you have a significant RPM difference, which you have when the vehicle is moving and you have zero RPM on the wheels, then high RPM on the engine, so that the clutch translation results in a very, very high torque value on the wheels that will get you moving. That wasn't happening at all because of that bug, because the you shifted when the engine was at no RPM, basically, into first gear, and the clutch couldn't do any torque conversion. So that's why it was so hard to get vehicles moving on any sort of incline.
Thank you, Dombey.
Oni, go ahead. No, sorry, Steve's first.
I haven't really got to play 12.1 vehicles much, so I don't know how much you fixed the problem. But I, when I was playing V12, I did keep thinking that the shift button should maybe downshift a gear and then hold it, which would help a lot with those climbs. Because like the way it works now is that you're going up a hill and say you're going up a hill in fourth gear, and you need to sort of downshift to get up to it. You need to wait until you've lost half your speed. And you can't hold shift because then it won't downshift. So you need to wait and then let it go down and then hold shift. And you've already lost your speed, so it becomes pointless. And if you're in fourth gear going and you're about to hit a hill, you hold shift and then it goes down a gear and then it can't go up a gear even if it hits the limiter. And then it might work a little bit better.
Yeah, that's good feedback. Is Norby, is that doable?
The simulation currently has no way to deal with over RPM situations for the engine. So if we allow fully manual shifting, you could just go at a really high speed and shift into lower gears, and your engine would have to go at RPMs that are beyond what should be possible, and that will cause issues. So right now that's not easily doable for us. Okay. And in 12.1, I think the situation should be much improved. So. Yeah, the crash is fixed, so I might as well just release that now. Just
oh, sweet.
Server live.
Oh, cool. Let me just... or you can post an SQ hosting so we get some servers up. Meanwhile, we go ahead. Oni?
Yeah, very simple question. Regarding the turret disabling damage mechanic, I'm always hammering on about the visual feedback to vehicle damage. Will you guys were talking about there being three different damage states for the turret. Will that show simply by having more smoke show up as the turret gets more damaged, or how is that intended?
I think right now the turret component is kind of like a late addition for 12.1. Not 100% sure, but I don't think it has a an effect associated to it right now. So it's basically the turret just moves really slowly. The more damage it gets beyond 50%, you can't. When it gets drops below 50%, you can't use your stabilizer. And below 50%, the screen is cracked on the gunner's reticle. So he's got a visual cue as to why his turret's all fucked up.
Yeah, of course. I was thinking more from the perspective of the assailant.
Yeah, like the third person you're taking.
Yep.
Yeah, so far, correct me if I'm wrong, Norby, but I don't think we have made any effect on the turret from the third person.
No, we have not. There's no external visual indicator right now of damaged turrets.
Yeah, it's very possible we had this later on, but it's just kind of we had the turret component mostly working prior to 12 coming out, and then we just figured out it's working good enough, we can get it in now. So it's kind of like an early version of it to give a little more range to the component systems for the vehicles.
What we found in testing is that it's really easy to tell that the turret just stopped moving, and that's a good indicator for seeing that it's broken. Because normal operation, the gunner will constantly move the turret around, so you'll be able to tell when that stops.
Yeah, if he's not looking around, oh hey, his turret's probably busted out.
Yep.
All Pliskin?
Yeah, regarding repair stations. Have you guys thought about like making it not possible to repair if you've recently taken damage on the vehicle? Because like vehicles playing around repair stations kind of like a tank, imagine with a repair station behind him, like just going back and forth, like peeking a hill, going back to repair, and especially combined with like the amount of ammo the enemy has to use to damage a tank versus the amount of supplies the tank needs to repair himself. It's not like in sync at all. Like, if an enemy tows you, spends 500 ammo, you might only need like 50 or 100 supplies to repair the tank afterwards. So I was thinking maybe like 1 minute disable or something. Like, you recently took damage, you can't repair for a minute or something.
Yeah, I'm not really happy with the way repair stations work. I mean, they're not horrible in the fact that it does take quite a while to repair a tank that's critically wounded. But yeah, it is still a little too gamey for what I think we're aiming for. Repair stations haven't really been touched too much since they've been introduced. So we will probably do some revisions on it in the future. But yeah, I mean, whether it's some kind of delay or something, it's got to be done smartly because, you know, obviously you're going to get people who are like, why am I not repairing? I'm standing next to it. I have repair points, etc. So it's got to be some clear way we can do it. But certainly that's a system we're going to work on, as you know, so people don't exploit it as a gamey way to play. I mean, if the repair station is in the open, not like behind a hill, obviously the easiest thing to do is to blow that up first. But yeah, I know people will hide them in the little compounds and stuff like that, so it's it is something that we are aware of.
Just a second before we continue, gentlemen. I'm just checking how much time Greg needs to post patch logs and stuff since Norby decided to release 12.1. So meanwhile, you can update your servers, Jim.
If you just want to keep rolling, I can kind of tune out. I'm recording, so I can always transcribe later.
Okay. Well, sure. If that works for you, let's go ahead. Yeah, Mooney, your turn.
Okay, so a question that I had with it being so difficult for vehicles to move when you know, they're in such a beat up state. Will there ever be, you know, any sort of towing system implemented? You know, because that, I think it would be helpful to start encouraging players to keep vehicles together instead of, you know, separating them as we see a lot of.
Yeah, not sure what the technical side of towing is, but it would be quite cool. We actually
discussed the technical side just last week. The result is that we really have everything that's needed except the time so far. From a technical side, it's totally doable. We have physical cables in the game that you can attach from one point to another. We have the physics side of it where you can transmit a force to that. We haven't tried it, obviously. It might end up being glitchy in the way that we didn't expect, but I don't see why it wouldn't work. So yeah, I really want to see it. We just have to get around to it.
To be honest though, sorry to cut in, but I saw the towing stuff in Postscriptum, and it might get tricky to get it not looking very janky when a thing is being towed behind.
Well, I think in squad it would not be like a prescription where you tow a gun over long distances. You'd just be pulling another vehicle for a very short time, which should hopefully be a little bit less glitch prone.
Right. A recovery thing.
Yeah, we talked about having a, instead of having a vehicle depot that you build, it's some kind of a repair, you know, repair thing based off of a vehicle. We don't have the art for anything yet, but yeah, it would be cool to experiment with a couple of them, those different options.
I think, like, as an alternative to towing or creating separate repair vehicles and stuff, I think a pretty simple solution would be to, like, if a guy in a logic could actually drop supplies wherever he wants on the spot and actually build stuff based on that supplies he's dropping, he could just, like, drive up to that destroyed vehicle, he drops some supplies, build a repair station, repairs the vehicle, and then just drives off again. Like, if that dropping those supplies wouldn't involve needing two guys next to him to drop that fob, and then risking 10 tickets during the time of repair, then I think that kind of thing would kind of evolve on its own, where logic people can basically assist vehicles with repairs if needed.
Yeah, yep, some kind of mobile system of full-on repairs that are, but we don't want it to be too exploitable, though, like, as you said, you know, with the tank driving behind the hill, getting repairs, and then driving. So we'd have to keep that in mind, but yeah, certainly. We would want it to be.
It would be pretty expensive, though, to drop a repair station, so it's not something you would do haphazardly, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. You have to have some limited use or limits to it, but yeah, definitely would be something we're looking at as far as getting vehicles totally back up to full state. Yeah. There's a quick question for everybody if they like the way we've done the crewman repair tools. You know, we've tried to make it so that you're able to get your vehicle back up to a working state, but not, you know, exploitable, that you just are able to repair infinitely, or have a couple people standing behind your tank kind of repairing.
It's good. If no one else is gonna say anything, I think it's good. It works really well.
It doesn't
really need a lot of change.
Personally, I love it a lot.
Yeah, I haven't heard many complaints about it. It was something we did. We're like, well, we need something. So we haven't heard a lot of complaints about it. So I guess we can move on to the next question. But yeah.
Yep, Steve.
With the heavier vehicles, obviously you got tight stuff now, so that's really interesting. And reserve judgment on sort of damage models until I've sort of seen the tight stuff in action. But I think, just with the change log you've just posted, I think trucks and BRDMs and MATVs should be one-shot lat kills, so that ambushes are a little bit more common and more like they were in V11, especially with the way persistent ammo is now in the game. I don't really see why trucks should be two-hit kills, because if you do want to get a successful ambush, you need to hit the engine block, which is okay, so yeah, that's pretty doable, but at the same time, like, it's an unarmored truck. Why is it taking two rounds? And with the BRDMs, they're meant to be scout cars, and I don't think they should be encouraged to come in that close, and they should have to play it at a distance, and then the other vehicles come in heavier.
Yeah, we'll still look at the damage values for the lighter vehicles. I think it's just one of those things that we're still kind of tweaking all the values, you know, getting the balance right. The light, you know, the MATV is a little bit heavier armored. I think it's heavier armored in real life than the BRDM. So
even the BTR.
Yeah, it's actually a heavy vehicle. It's actually quite a large vehicle in real life. It's like very, very large.
Just about taller than Humvee.
Yeah, it's very tall. It's tall. It's as tall as an Abrams, or taller than an Abrams, actually. But yeah, it would be great if we could just bring the Humvee back. But yeah, not going to happen anytime soon, I don't think. Yeah, so the trucks, yeah, I mean, there can be an argument set on both sides where, you know, they are the only vehicle to you know, some people are like, just make them really super armored so that, you know, you have a vehicle that can deliver supplies, versus they're just a truck, you know, they're relatively like a super thin skin vehicle. As you stated, the engine can be shot out quite easily, but you don't even need a lot. You just, you know, burst fire into the engine, and that'll disable it from it being able to drive. So they are still quite vulnerable, especially the guys in the back can just be picked off. But yeah, fair enough. That's valid feedback about the LATs. I think we didn't fully disclose. So the LATs have been reduced a little bit in their costs. They're down to 40 rather than 50. We don't have the access. I guess it's kind of not really related, but yeah, just talking about the LATs in general, they've been standardized for their penetration values. So they should be a little more useful on medium, you know, like the APCs and stuff like that. Whether you use them on a truck to disable it or destroy it, I'm not sure. I think it brings it to like, what is it, 70? It would be 50, probably like 45% health on a first hit. It does 45 damage on a first hit.
Okay, I would add that, like, so you're talking about, like, making them really strong so that they can survive, so that you can make sure you're getting logistics out. I would argue that it's probably better to go the other way, where, like, the current system is the tanks take more of a hit than the people driving it, so at the moment, the most likely outcome is that the truck gets halfway stranded in the middle of nowhere with no one around it, whereas if it was just a one-hit kill, for like easeability of play, at least it's going to respawn at main, and then you can try a different route instead of having all your trucks stuck in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, that's valid feedback about the frequent occurrence of the trucks getting the guys getting shut out, stuff like that.
That's a little bit like using the truck as a frontline vehicle, then, whereas they're not meant to be used as that kind of.
Yeah, I mean, the ideal, you know, gameplay we would love to see and move systems towards is, you know, people moving in convoys, stuff like that, with larger inventories. It's more viable because, they've got more, they don't have to make as frequent trips if they're not, you know, planning on building this massive base or whatever. But
fair enough.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely see points on the both sides of that argument. I mean, and we will. It'll ease up a little bit with the supply needs when you do get helicopters, as that'll be like an alternative way to get supplies in. So it won't be only relying on the logi trucks, but still a little ways out.
Pleskin.
I just want to second what Steez was talking about. Like a machine gunner can easily kind of disable or destroy a truck. Even a rifleman can do it, but like a LAT guy with only one rocket can't do it. It's kind of frustrating, I think, for him. And also like with persistent ammo system, I think introducing so that you can have two rockets as a LAT guy wouldn't be an issue anymore. Like I think it's kind of boring to only have one rocket considering that's like your role. You don't have a scope, you don't have a medikit, you have a lat kit, and you can only shoot one rocket, and then you have to like resupply. I think it makes for kind of boring gameplay for the lat guy. And if you have two rockets, yeah, then you can actually deal with BRDM and MATV based on those values, if posted.
Well, the one rocket for most team play.
Yeah, I'd second that, especially if it takes more rockets to destroy a truck or a vehicle.
I mean, you do already have ammo bags also.
I don't really agree, but yeah, I said my opinion.
Yeah, well, we do want to see how everything shakes out in the, you know, give it a little more time. I mean, yeah, sure, we can add an extra rocket, but we don't want to return to the the V11 state of vehicles just being parked at main, because there's so many things that can kill them that they're not too they're more risky than they are useful. So just we want to be cautious about saturating the battlefield with lots and lots of rockets. But as you said, you know, with persistent ammo and everything else, it's a valid point too.
Yeah, and then Matvey takes two hits anyways, so at least then one last guy, if he hits both his rockets, he can deal with Matvey.
Yep.
Kind of, all right, gentlemen, we need to keep going here. So the Cliff Hound and Aragon have the last points for an hour, and we have lots to discuss. Cliff?
Okay, one of the things that was talked about was turret damage, and my just question is this going to be separate to vehicle damage? Meaning, like, if you get latted in the side armor or whatnot, does the turret get affected?
Rule of thumb is if the turret is part of the vehicle hull and your vehicle hull takes damage, the turret is an attachment, which in this case, I think only the crows qualifies.
Yeah,
then the vehicle hull does not take damage.
The NSV and the MTLB as well.
No, I think that's a part of the vehicle itself. I'm not 100% sure on that one. Oh, by the way, the open turrets do not get turret damage because it's easy enough to shoot the gun out, so it didn't feel like that would need another nerf.
Hyundai?
Yeah, I want to talk about state of the BTR and like facing against the MRAPs and yes, like we said before, MRAP is like even more armored car, but it still has like a lot more. Basically, it overpowers the BTR because of the latter that has ammunition compartment. It's like a giant hitbox underneath the tower that can be penetrated from the front and sides, and it takes like about 50 plus bullets from M2 to just ignite it and destroy the BTR, and they just can't do anything about it.
Like, the ammo box has been removed from the BTR. And the overheat on the 30 mil, Russian 30 mil has been reduced, so now it can fire more rounds before it overheats.
All right, I guess you answered my question then.
Aragorn?
We'll be very quick. Are you guys thinking about removing the health bar visualization for the driver so the infantry can try to scare the tanks APC? Without being doing damage to it, so that the vehicle actually think to, hey, I take a rocket, maybe it's time to move on.
That would be a question for Fass, who just left his computer, I think, to get something to drink.
There has been, I have never heard of that. So I would probably say that there's no plans for that.
Copy.
Moving on, let's go through spawn mechanics, and they remain unchanged in 12.1. Go ahead, Oni.
So, the same thing that I brought up last time that I was kind of concerned about regarding camping rallies and the 30-meter disabling and the wave spawn mechanics combining to create a situation where you might see a whole buttload of guys spawn at one moment, have your bipod up, and just mow down a bunch of guys. Last time I made a suggestion regarding having a spawning window so that people can spawn within a certain time frame after the wave triggers, rather than all spawning at the same time. So you can have one guy or two guys spawn in, and if they get mowed down, you don't have the rest of your guys spawn in then. Is that still on the table? Is that still an idea that might come up? Or are you intending to just keep it this way?
Can you do that real quick? Because I didn't follow, sorry.
Last time we had this community roundtable, I had an idea regarding rallies to prevent them getting camped and whole squads getting wiped as soon as they spawned, because they all spawned at the same time. My idea was to have a time window, so when the wave triggers, instead of only the people who've clicked confirm spawning all at the same time, you have, let's say, a 5, 6, 7, 8 second time window within which you can spawn on the rally.
Has not been any discussion of that. No. Yeah, Steve, if you have a two, go ahead. Otherwise,
Well, it was a one, but it's kind of related to what we were just talking about. One of the suggestions on, as I made some feedback channels on the SWC Discord for the comp guide, one of the best suggestions we had in this was that once the wave is finished, you can spawn at any time after that. You don't have to wait for the next wave, which would fix the problem that Oni's just talking about. Plus, it would also make it way less frustrating to have to go AFK for something in real life and then miss it. And also, like, at the moment, there's something that Bachelor Pliskin's about to talk about, is the fact that you, because of 20-second minimum spawn time, you can really game that if you want to and get a lot of pressure at the loss of tickets. I think, personally, it'd be better if the minimum time was increased and the wave time was increased, but then once the wave is done, you can spawn at any time, which would make it way less frustrating, but at the same time, you still at least... you're stopping the trickle in, the wave still has a point, but then it's just way less frustrating from then on.
Yeah, it's good feedback. I mean, we're not completely done on the way the wave spawning. But implemented, I think it's... I definitely think the... to step away from the... limited, like the 9 life rally points is good, but yeah, there's still some tweaks that could be done for the wave spawn to prevent some of this.
Doctor, go ahead.
Personally, our group is not a fan of the wave spawning. We think it incentivizes giving up too much because you're going to miss the wave. I think the fact that you added the whole, if you get hurt really bad, you start losing stamina, is more than enough to keep a squad together. I don't think that we should be forcing players to spawn together because of spawn camping. I don't know. We're not a fan of it. I prefer the old style of it. Yeah, I just think it should be removed. I think players should have more freedom as opposed to forcing the spawn. I think they should talk to each other and decide to group up together instead of being forced to. I think you should add indirect gameplay mechanics to incentivize things like that as opposed to forcing players to do it. Because it just becomes more frustrating, right? You can't save a rally because we have to wait for the wave. You know, little things like this just kind of make it frustrating. So my suggestion would be just to remove it and go back to the old style. I think the Habs is okay. Maybe make it 3 people instead of 2, because one of the fun things to do in all previous versions of the game was taking down a Hab and using teamwork to take down the Hab, right? Get in the Hab, camp it, you know, that stuff was a lot of fun. So I think requiring more players to take down the Hab, like to disable it, I think would be a positive thing, because you can use more teamwork as opposed to just 2 people sneaking up to a Hab and disabling it, that, you know, and everything's hunky-dory. So I think getting rid of the wave spawner and increasing the disable amounts for the Hab, I think would be a good change.
Art, go ahead.
Basically just adding on what Doc said there and a little bit on what Steve said before as well. A lot of our guys feel the same, that it's kind of forcing a gameplay style as opposed to letting it naturally happen with the wave spawn. And I mean, personally, from a squad leading point of view, the amount of times I'm getting my squad to mass give up just so we can catch that wave spawn and push it once, it feels a little bit gimmicky.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's basically all I had to say.
Hound,
yeah, I want to add to talk that we also, like, in our community, are not really fans of wave spawn. And there's also one of the problems that we can highlight is that, let's say our squad has, like, taken casualties, we want to fall back and regroup, respawn people on the rally, but then the 60-second cooldown starts, and then we have a choice either to sit 1 minute and, like, we cannot return to the fighting objective, or we go back to the objective, but then we end up separated with people who are about to respawn in a minute. And that, like, ironically makes us separated. Instead of with the old system, we could just, like, respawn and move as 9. Or...
Yep, inside reality, please.
Yeah, my feedback overall was that actually most players, at least in the French community, actually like the wave system. But some people dislike the fact that it's 1 minute once you put it down, and that blocks a lot of things. I second the fact that it is a little gimmicky on the mass give up and just everybody spawn at once back on it to re-attack, and that sometimes feels odd. And I second also what Doc was saying about the HAB disable number, because I think 2 is too little, and sometimes it's too easy to like sneak up with 2 guys and disable a HAB and get things moving on. I think maybe 3 or 4 would be more an incentive to team play and to actually like really work to get to the HAB.
Yeah, I personally like the wave spawn. I think there's a lot of things that you can, you know, there's always a way to adapt, and you can use it to your advantage in some situations. The only thing that I would suggest for it is to make the timer 10 seconds when you first put it down. Say you're like you're on an opener, and your squad has to wait a whole 60 seconds. Like you're in a Mat V, right? And you don't get your whole squad in. If it were 10 seconds, maybe like 5, 10, 15, I don't know, somewhere in that range, instead of having to wait that whole 60 seconds, it might be a little better. That's all I got for that.
And Pliskin, you get to close out spawn mechanics for now.
Yeah, personally, from what I've experienced, I really don't see that wave spawning has added anything in terms of like depth of gameplay. To the opposite, I feel like it's just a way... Or I think the people who like fast respawns and fast gameplay and kind of, I guess, like Battlefield kind of gameplay, they like the wave spawning, but otherwise most people don't really. There's just too many issues with it to name, and I think the old previous system worked pretty good. Like if I want people to kind of hold a bit and group up before they pushed out, I just said like, hold your ground when you spawn on rally. And then we waited for like 20, 30 seconds until we got enough people and we started pushing out. And other things is like people give up with the wave spawning system, especially since the rally points has infinite spawns. It's went the opposite direction than it should, in my opinion. If it was more resource-based, the spawning system, I think people would be much more hesitant to give up. Let's say if you had to, for example, carry like supplies from a FOB on your rally points, and each time you spawn, you spend a little bit of supplies, then you would see people waiting for a medic a lot more, I think. Otherwise, your rally would just run out of supplies very fast and become inspawnable. Other things, the wave spawn system actually splits squads in many cases, because if you don't catch the wave, then suddenly 2 or 3 guys have to wait 1 minute, and then the people who already spawn have to wait for them, and it just creates this really disjointed squad cohesion. And I also think, like other people said, that it's kind of gimmicky. It's kind of forcing a style of gameplay, or over. Like, of course, you need incentives in the game, but it's overly incentivizing this kind of grouping up. I think, which you already could with the VA11 system, but it was kind of freer in the VA11 system. So yeah, that's what I have to say. And yeah, finally, if the spawning system on the rally was resource based, as in you needed supplies to actually spawn on it, then you could also make the rally point a bit more harder, because right now the stomp range is just insane. It's like 30 meters, and you have to like put him in the, really far away from the battlefield. I think it would be a bit more interesting gameplay if the rally point was a bit more like a HAB for the squad. But then once the enemy actually takes your rally, then it's gone. You lost your supplies. You have to restart on the HAB or something. So it's... Yeah, that's what I have to say. And final thing, if you take down an enemy rally, I think you should know. You should get a notification on your screen. It shouldn't be like, did we actually wipe the squad? Did we find a rally? No, you should actually know when you take down the enemy rally.
Okay, moving on from that, I will include persistent ammo and infantry play in the same topic, since it's basically extremely so go ahead.
Are we talking about infantry play now?
Infantry play and persistent ammo, because they're two also connectors. We'll do them under one link. I can actually be very pedagogic. Hey, Cliff, go ahead.
One of the things I noticed a lot of my members having a problem with, some of my members is the colors of the fire teams. They're not very distinct, especially for the people that are colorblind. They're having a lot of problems distinguishing between certain colors.
For the guys that are colorblind, there is an option in the user interface game settings to enable, like, it shows 1A, 2B, 1B, etc. So make sure they make sure you let them know about that, because there is some colorblind options that we had thought of, but this valid feedback about the colors.
Okay, thank you. I'll let them know.
Doc?
Yeah, so this topic is going to be the one I harp on the most, because our group heavily dislikes the infantry play right now. We think it's absolutely atrocious. The recoil is the biggest gripe, and I think on a positive note, I think the reduced sway in 12.1 is a good thing. I think that's a good change, and I think it's really nice the way you have it in 12.1 from what Odie and I have looked at. Sway is really good. That's a good change. Horizontal recoil, horrible. Absolutely horrible. I don't understand it. I don't get the point of it. It's frustrating to deal with. The floaty recoil, I don't get it. I don't understand the point of it. It's not fun to play with. Like, the only thing that, in my opinion, should be focused on is the infantry play. Because this is an FPS shooter. You know, we should be focused on making that as enjoyable as possible. And everything else should be on the back burner. And the infantry play has just been really bad since V10. Like, the recoil just, in my opinion, the recoil needs to be looked at, right? Because the horizontal recoil, and I have a video of it that I'll put in the general channel. But we compare it to V9's recoil. And in V10 and on, the recoil goes up, it goes down, and then it settles back up again. And I don't understand the point of that. It's just frustrating. You can't shoot well. I just don't get it. We play games to get better and enjoy them. And right now it just feels so janky. And my entire team has stopped playing the game because of it. Like, I can't get people to play the game anymore if I can't play competitive. No one wants to play it. It's that bad right now. And all I'm asking is for hopefully this to be heard and changed. And I would even suggest a complete overhaul of the infantry play. Persistent ammo, I like it. I think it's good. I think it balances things, and it forces teamwork. But the actual core shooting mechanics need to be looked at, like, absolutely. Because V9 was fun. It was the best the game has ever been shooting-wise, and I have multiple people that agree with me on my team. I understand the addition of Sway. I don't think Sway is a bad thing, especially in 12.1. It feels really good. But the recoil is just horrendous. And I don't know if there's, like, limitations to, like, the system that you've put into the game, but something has got to be done about it. And hopefully this is, like, not a dog and pony show, and, like, this is actually being noted, because it's something that I feel very strongly about, because I love this. But right now, like, I can't even play the game anymore because I'm so frustrated with it. It's been, like, I don't know. I don't play it every day. The time to action is really bad. I don't know if it's because of the spawn mechanics now or how big the maps are or something, but a frustration a lot of my players are having is it feels like you're defending a flag. No one's attacking you. So you're in Nordic. You were talking about this the other day when we were playing. Like, this is boring. Why are we playing this? We're defending a flag. Defending a flag should be fun, right? But, like, you're sitting there doing nothing for, you know, 40 minutes out of the 140 or 1 hour and 40 minute game time. There's something not quite right about what's going on in the game right now, and I think it should be addressed. But I'll stop my rant there.
T, To add to that fact, I can say that there is extremely little horizontal recoil in foveal.
Not on the foregrip. Not in the foregrip red dot. It's horrible.
The foregrip has more horizontal but less vertical, which is a trade-off.
Yeah, but it's not shooting. Your gun shooting side to side is not fun, Nordic. Like, that's not fun to deal with. It should just be less. No, just less vertical recoil, and the trade-off is you don't have a scope, right? Because that the horizontal recoil just doesn't make any sense to me. Like, I don't get the point of that. Why is my gun shooting left or right? I have an M4. The M4 actually shoots back.
Probably don't want to play a game where there's zero horizontal recoil, because pulling.
Well, I'm not saying like completely like get rid of it, but like minimize it, right? Like
that's pretty much what we're done right now.
He has, yeah.
Well, the foregrip needs to be looked at because the horizontal recoil is atrocious on that.
Alright. Steve, you have a two?
Yeah, I spoke to you about this too the other day. And I believe the reason Doc feels this way is all because of the animation of the recoil itself. I know Nordic has gone through and changed the way the viewpoint handles recoil and the way it goes up and doesn't come back down, and he's reduced the sideways amount of that. And it's at a really good state right now, but I think you've reached a point where you can't tweak those values anymore, and the problem is the animation. And it goes hand in hand with what Doc said, is this has started happening since V10, where the animation changed. And I think a lot of people agree with that. And the problem is, the animation, if you compare the V10 onwards animation to the V9 one, is the animation for the recoil, where it goes up, moves slightly to the side, and then comes back down. I think the animation itself is okay, but it is way too slow and way too exaggerated. And because of that, you lose a lot of the tightness and the snappiness of the control.
Yeah, the recoil should be quick and very much controlled.
If you made that animation quicker and smaller, then you get that snapback, and then you can go back to tweaking the values a lot more freely and get a lot more control over it. The other gripe I have with the player control is the lack of movement speeds options. So you're stuck playing an FPS shooter where you can only move at one pace, and the only option to slow down that pace is to ADS, which is stupid. So there needs to be walk, and I think ideally there should always be three movement speeds. So you've got in ADS, you can hold walk to slow down, and you can hold shift to walk a little bit faster so that you can like play the game slowly and have control over the way and I think that adds a lot to how the game feels, because I do agree with Doc, I think a lot of people do, that the game itself and the mechanics and stuff is progressing nicely, but there's a lot of problems with the way it feels that just aren't really that enjoyable, and that's a huge part of the enjoyment of playing a shooter.
Inside Reality, go ahead.
Yeah, I just have a very quick one on persistent ammo. I've had a multiple members request that there be a little bit of ammo on the rally, like a finite amount that wouldn't regenerate. But in some situations where you're fighting over a long time on a one flag and you don't have the means to bring a logi up and build a fob, at some point you really have no more ammo. It'd be really cool if maybe we could have 100 ammo points on the rally.
But then you would be placing that new every single time you have the chance, right?
Maybe it could be related to, I don't know, a radius, where once it's put down in that radius, if you put down a rally again, you won't have ammo. I understand what you say, what you mean, Norby, and of course it would be overused, or rallies would be replaced every time the squad leader spawns in, but it'd be cool to have 100 ammo.
As a little point regarding the gunplay, Asipra actually said something smart. If you have an example from another shooting game, another FPS game, where we have an example of what you'd like to see, feel free to bring that as an example as a video. It's always easier to see something to understand what you mean, rather than it feels floaty or the snapback or whatever. Something concrete over abstract words is always easier to use as feedback. Just a little note yeah. that I thought was really good from us.
Look at V9. There you go. That's like the solution. Like V9 was great. The shooting was amazing. Like it was the funnest the game has ever been with the way you were able to shoot. It felt great. Felt amazing.
Plissken, you're two.
I would just say I think the rally could carry some ammo. And if it runs out and you have to resupply it on the fob. And not every time you drop a new rally. I really don't see a problem with that. Like it would go hand in hand with the persistence system. Especially if... so that's all.
Yeah, like an ammo bag, yeah. That's a good idea on the fob.
Okay, but I mean, the rifleman fulfills that role now where you can just place that ammo bag at the rally point.
Should be noted that the idea is that you should form your squad based on what you want. I'm fully aware that we still have not kit locking in, but that is something that I believe is confirmed for A13. Correct me if I'm wrong. Neither Frost or Norby says anything, so I'm just going to say that it's confirmed. So you can, as an SL, select that people in your squad cannot take AT kits. They can't take MGs or whatever. You unlock or rather disable the kits you don't want to see. And the idea is obviously that if you're feeling that, okay, I'm going to be away from a fob, I'm going to be pushing from my rally quite a bit, then maybe you should bring 5 riflemen instead of just 2 or 3. So you have extra ammo, because with 5 riflemen, you have 500 ammo points. And I fully realized that we still didn't get granular rearming, or rather we did, but that you can choose what you rearm. You either rearm everything.
That's definitely for it. That's definitely for A13.
Yeah, and that's also coming for A13. It's just a time thing that we didn't get into V12, which would have been ideal for persistent ammo, but reality is reality. But yeah, and that's also something that we want to see, that you think of how you plan your squad based on what you're going to do. Just a little side note there. Art, go ahead.
Yeah, just to add kind of to what people were saying before, I do kind of like the idea of adding ammo to rally points, maybe tie it to the squad leader and how many people are in the squad, and the squad leader needing to resupply ammo, which supplies the ammo point, I don't know. But as it stands at the moment, the thing I don't like about persistent ammo is that it feels like it's taking tools away from attacking squads. Like especially things like smokes. I feel like medics should always have smokes on them. But at the moment, they're just not getting the opportunity to use any because, you know, you use it once, and if it isn't utilized properly, then you're back to the fob and you got to resupply anyway. So, and just infantry gameplay feels a little, I don't know, I think it's got a lot to do with the map design at the moment. It's just between the suppression, limited stamina, and sometimes limited supplies on what you have. Pushing a point is just more trouble than it's
worth. You're breaking up, or...
All right, don't worry about it then.
I heard you.
No, not for me.
Wasn't breaking up for me. Well, so probably you're in there. Go ahead, Art. Finish if you're ready. Finish.
Yeah, it just feels a little bit too much trouble that it's worth on a lot of the bigger maps of the map. Is there any plans on putting more infantry focused maps in, like city maps or anything?
We've got a couple maps in the pipeline right now. Most of the maps in development are 4 kilometer plus. Oh, there goes, you know.
I can probably talk a bit more about that. Can't tell you which map is coming, but I don't think infantry is going to suffer in those new maps. Definitely not.
Because, yeah, like if I use Kohat or the new Talil as an example, it's as infantry, it's very hard to maneuver around if your vehicles aren't kind of up to snuff.
Definitely newer maps are going to be very infantry friendly. That's all I can say, really.
Talil, this is like kind of like a first pass. Later down the road, we might get a second pass at it. For example, some of the bunker areas were not maybe as filled in as we had wanted, but there's, you know, some more infantry stuff that we could include in Talil to make it a little more infantry friendly. But I mean, it is primarily Talil's like a, it was like a showcase for tanks.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Tim did some changes to the gas station on Talil also. Not sure if that's going to be in 12.1, but it's going to be. So that should be more infantry friendly.
I should note as well that Fallujah is obviously no secret. It's not coming, but it's coming. And after that, with modding 2.0, there will be the ability to play custom maps on licensed server as long as they have been going through a approval pipeline. How that will look is still not decided, but it will basically go through that it fits squad gameplay wise, what we want to see from the game, and then strictly technically speaking, that it performs well, doesn't have any issues, etc., etc. But in that sense, server admins will have much more choice on deciding what do they want to play on their server. So yeah, that's a little note there. Oni, go ahead.
Sorry, I lost my train of thought for a second there, but oh yeah, concerning the persistent ammo, one of the problems that people keep running into is the I'm not able to resupply because ammo resupply cost is just that little bit higher than ammo on bag or in vehicle or whatever. And I was just curious about the idea for some kind of internal logic prioritizing certain things, etc. What we talked about last roundtable, what the time frame on that is, or if there's any
in
kind
A13, you will be able to choose what you want to react.
There might be a 421 update, which we may be able to include the granular ammo system. It's fully working in, like, from what has been tested, but it, like the system's implemented. Basically, it just has to go through the paces to make sure there's no bugs with it. But like how it works is you press like F on your thing, and then you can just click on the rearm all, and it'll rearm everything. But then if you want to go into more granular, you can select, you know, do I want to rearm? So you go like, all right, I want two mags and a smoke grenade. And then you click rearm, and then it just gives you the things that you have selected. So you'll be able to select every independent item and, yeah, totally like granularly rearm like that. Lat, as I mentioned earlier, Lat's been dropped down to 40 instead of 50, so it's a little easier to rearm off of an ammo bag.
So with that, what you just described, will there still be some kind of internal logic, possibly even that you can set priorities for certain items so that if you choose resupply all, that it just does as much as it can, but still following a certain internal logic?
We have not included that yet. Might be something possible to do, but I'm thinking we'll see how this system works out.
Yeah, that's really funny, Zeno.
Sorry.
I'm watching Zeno play. What are you on right now? Okay.
Anyways, he's playing.
Yeah, I just want to say persistent ammo. I think it's a step in the right direction for the game. But I think most of the frustrations that people have with it is due to that the logistics system is like very restricted and strangled right now. There's a lot of rules that I think if we're removed would like free up the logistics and make so that you'd see more dedicated logistics squads. Like for one, I think we already discussed this in the past, but you know, if you need like two guys sitting next to you in the logi just to drop off some supplies on a position on the map, you know, you have to drop the fob and then like put supplies on the fob. That alone is like making it almost impossible to run the logi squad because nobody wants to be that guy sitting in a truck for 90% of the game doing nothing. I think the 10 ticket cost to fobs is restricting the logistics. You know, you just want to drop some ammo on the map and now you're risking 10 tickets for dropping that ammo on the map, strangling the gameplay. And the 300 meter rule between each fob, it's also strangling the logistics because why shouldn't you be able to drop a little bit of ammo here and then a little bit of ammo 200 meters to the east? It's just, I know you guys have already said that you want to make it so you have like supply crates or at least like remove this 300 meter rule between FOBs and instead connect it to the hab, and I think that's a great idea. The sooner the better. Also, I think another thing is like if you allow the Logi guy to kind of be his own guy, and like maybe he has like one guy sitting next to him in the truck, you know, he drives around, maybe stops and puts down some ammo, he builds some mortar tube, does some mortaring, maybe does some towing, then drives off and does logistics somewhere else. Or suddenly maybe he meets an enemy, a friendly vehicle that needs repairs, he drops like a repair station, repairs that. If you like has some more variety and like some freedom and not just driving from main to FOB the whole game, I think you'd see a lot more like dedicated or people wanting to play logistics. And apart from that, I would just say like Rifleman having 11 grenades now with the ammo bag, it's kind of insane. It's like they have like a scope and basically 11 grenades when they rearm from the ammo bag. That's just completely broken in my opinion. Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Honda?
Yeah, I'll talk about persistent ammo as well. Like in our community, it's also like pretty mixed. So some like it, some think that it shouldn't exist. It's like better with the old system, but mostly it comes to minor inconveniences, such as like necessity to, when you spawn on the FOB, run to the ammo crate. Like it's so minor, but it's just like 5, 10, 15 seconds of like basically just doing the rudimentary task. Then the other thing is like it kind of hurts incomplete squads, like when there's like not 9 people but like 6, 5, 4. Like this is a typical case when you're like, let's say you join the server and the whole team is like made all 9-man squads, all armored squads are made, logistics, whatever. So you're just forced to make your own squad, and then eventually you have to like this 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 people squad. And the problem is like when let's say people leave and join squad. People with special kits like MG or whatever, they like when people leave, the conditions to take that kit are also left. And when the guy dies, he is forced to choose another kit. But then he loses his ammo, even if he goes back to the previous kit he had, the kit he intended to be with. Yeah, that's one of the points of relation. And mostly, like been said before, the problems with the logistics. Like so maybe it also comes down to map design. Like let's say it's a really big map, like Yehorivka, like the newest layers where the mains are literally on the edges of the map, and it just takes not only it takes a lot of time to drive one logi from main to FOB and back. It also like a really possible scenario where the logis just get eliminated very easily by the reasons mentioned before. Like it's so easy to take down the engine and the driver, and sometimes like 1-2 logi tracks down means one game in the public, because people on the front line will not have rockets to deal with the vehicles, not have ammo and grenades to be effective, and usually it's really impactful to kill just one or two of those logis, or even APC if they should decide to carry ammo like that. So it's really like maybe for competitive plays like streams or organized events for like with a lot of people, like 36 versus 36, it's really really good. But for publics, it's a lot of times it just results in massive stumps because people just don't have ammo.
Oni?
Bit of a different question. So right now the player camera is located somewhere in the middle of the head, which causes a couple of issues with leaning and looking over walls that are just head height, where the enemy can see your head popping out over a wall, but from your perspective you only see the skyline because your eyes are lower. That is one issue, and there's still an issue with a discrepancy between first and third person prone camera position, where the actual location of your player model is a little bit further forward than it feels for you in first person. And I was wondering if there's still any what your thoughts are on that, and if that's ever going to be tackled, because I see that as kind of a big deal.
Yeah, it's something we're aware of. Obviously we've done some corrections on it in the past. But, yeah, we don't have a I don't have a firm answer of like, yes, we're gonna make sure that it's fixed. But I mean, especially with the leaning, I've noticed some of those issues where you can kind of clip into static objects.
Sorry to interrupt you, but not so much that, but that the if you come out of a corner leaning already, then the opponent watching that corner has the advantage because they can see you lean before you can see around that corner and see them. And aside from that, like I said, if you're standing behind a wall, that let's say if you're standing right up next to it in first person, it looks like your eyes are a few inches below the top of the wall, but on the other side of the wall, they can see your helmet sticking out right up to your eyebrows. So that the way I see it, that can and sometimes does create problems.
Right. Yeah, well, we'll look into it more, see if there's any more offsets that can happen.
Yeah, I think that was something Chuck was actively investigating within the last week. I don't know if this fix is made into 12.1, but it is on his plate.
Okay, good.
I think this is the case of when animations get changed, then sometimes these things can go.
Well, I know that with because the issue that I was just talking about with your head just popping over a wall that looks like it shouldn't be for you, that might be one thing that's kind of tricky to nail down. I do understand that the prone offset is a little bit more difficult to tackle because you have to decide where the swivel point for the player is also, etc. But I do think it's important because otherwise people are lying up against rocks, walls, building shacks or whatever, and their chest is just sticking through the wall.
Yeah, it's a big issue.
Yep, agreed. That's Squad's not the only game that has to deal with this, but yeah,
yep.
It's kind of an ongoing thing for sure.
Insider, you have to go ahead.
Yeah, I would just add on that the fact that, you know, sometimes you have your reticle that's just above a wall and you just shoot in the wall that's right in front of you. That's really frustrating. And sometimes you feel that it would actually go through. I had the problem again today on Korra where I was looking up at the sky, not a sky, but at a tower, and I kept backing up and backing up. I kept shooting in the wall.
Well, in these situations, make sure that your reticle doesn't mean anything because your reticle is not the barrel of the wall.
I know, but I was like maybe 2 meters behind the wall and the wall wasn't anywhere in my scope.
Alright, yeah. Yeah, I'm not denying there's problems. I'm just making sure that you realize that the bullet will come out of the barrel and not the sight.
Because yeah, of course.
There's a lot of people that don't. Art, go ahead.
I guess on that as well, I'm firing at walls and the whole not being able to see over certain walls that you'd expect to and then getting shot because other people can see you. Have you had any thoughts on or plans on, I'm not sure if it's even mechanically available, of adding like a incremental crouch system kind of similar to something in Tarkov?
What do you mean? You mean movements system that you can choose your own movements?
Essentially multiple stages of crouching.
Jesus.
Yeah.
I don't know. I've never heard of it, no. Norby?
Sorry, I didn't listen.
Have we thought about incremental crouch system that in Tarkov that you can select your crouch height like a map? So the farther you scroll, the farther down your character goes rather than having fixed height from standing and crouched?
Well, Tarkov is one of the shooters I didn't play so far. I can't really speak to that, but in general, the approach for Squad is to keep it simple and approachable for players. So I'm not sure we want to overcomplicate controls and things like that. And just most shooters traditionally have a crouch function, and that's it, just one crouch position.
This.
No, but your homework is to play Tarkov. Because it is, I can get your point, but Tarkov has a lot of problems, but its movement mechanic options are incredibly intuitive and really well done, and you should definitely take a look at them.
Yep, for sure. We'll take a look at those. I'm not entirely happy with what we have for movement. It would be cool to get a little more options, but it's a matter of time and also getting a system that is, you know, like you said, intuitive and nailed down there. But it's noted. You guys would like to see additional, or some people would like to see additional movement options.
Well, to add to that, I can propose the alternative system to deal with the your gun shooting in the window and not over it is the, like, in the Rising Storm 2 or newest Insurgency Sandstorm, where, like, I think it's called soft cover. But basically, like, you sit behind the cover, and if you, like, use the ADS and try to shoot over it, the gun, like, your height will automatically adjust so that you will be able to shoot over or from the side of it. Like, you don't need to press any additional buttons or other than, like, ADSing.
Mm-hmm. Oni?
I was wondering two things. Number one, there is still currently a bug in the game that, to me, it looks like there's desync happening between server and clients regarding wave spawn timers, where sometimes people will all have click confirm on a rally to spawn, but they'll be spawning within a few seconds of each other. I've already had it happen plenty of times, and I was wondering if you were aware of the bug and if that had been fixed. And I also wanted to talk about the dynamic cover that was just brought up.
So you're saying when a player or everybody selects the spawn point, the rally point, they spawn like 1 or 2 seconds apart from another?
Yeah, I've already had it happen a couple of times where people had differing countdowns on the timer, or when they spawned, one guy would spawn, and I would literally see other people 3 seconds later still spawning as if they had a completely different timer from me. So it looked like desync.
I mean, we had issues with that early on. I believe we corrected that, but there could still be some small desyncs within the timer. I guess we'll have to investigate that. But isn't that almost like what you had requested for your proposal?
Kind of, but unintentional, right? Because it's just weird. It's just, when it happens, everybody's kind of scratching their head and going, wait.
Yeah, we'll have to investigate that. In regards to the dynamic movement or dynamic cover, mm-hmm. I believe that was talked about early on, right, Norby?
Yeah. I was one of the big proponents of that before. Several times I brought it up because I think that it's far more important than I feel like is given priority to. Because there's way too many situations in the game where you just can't lean over that one little sandbag because it's in a little angle, or there's a little divot that you're standing in, or a little rocket that you're leaning on, or whatever it is. And it's kind of ridiculous. It feels really limiting and ridiculous when you're trying to look through a pillbox sandbag, for example, or a tiny little opening that you can keyhole through, and you can't do it because your gun is literally an inch below the hole or an inch above the hole, and you're just sitting there going, "What?" getting frustrated at the fact that you can't shoot through this hole that you, by the way, can get shot through. So I think it's a really important thing. And way back when I brought it up, I remember that the first response about it was that it was intended to come at some point. Then that changed to that you guys didn't have enough bandwidth available, that it would probably not be coming. But that kind of made me scratch my head a bit, because then I thought, well, Bipods already have a system where it kind of dynamically tries to adjust your height slightly. So couldn't some of that code be leveraged to at least patch it a little bit, patch it over until potentially it could be worked out more fully in the future with an actual dynamic animation system attached to the height adjustment, etc., so it looks right?
Yeah, I think our animators had done some investigation into it. I don't think they ever got like a working prototype. But this feedback is valid. That's almost coincides with the you know, the other thing about the movement system, wanting it to be a little more dynamic or user configurable. Yeah, I hear you. It's one of the frustrating things. I agree. It was like, for example, when you're moving while well crouched, your height is slightly higher, which totally makes sense because you know you have to shift up a bit in order to walk around like that. So you can actually see over a lot of the ledges and stuff when you're doing that. But then when you stop to actually aim, then you can't shoot over it because it's very frustrating. So, you know, it's a matter of determining if we can get that good system in there or just a matter of making sure that our statics are built with that in mind. So, feedback is noted on it. I don't have a better answer for you at this time.
No, that's okay. But of course, adjusting the height of different statics and accounting in the height of player models on different statuses in your level design, that's obviously important regardless of whether you add a dynamic cover system or not. But that still doesn't help fix situations where, for example, you're trying to aim down while you're standing behind a sandbag or something, because then you still need that dynamic cover system to be able to, you know, lean over that edge and aim down. Think of apartment buildings on Narva. If you're standing on a balcony and you're trying to aim down at people, I've had plenty of situations where I just couldn't shoot the guy anymore simply because he was getting too close to my building, whereas I should have totally been able to pop him because he was too far vertically down. But you know what I mean. I guess I'll shut up about it now, save for one last idea that popped in my head when you guys were just talking about more dynamic movement in general. It might be an idea to add adjustment of movement speed when ADS by using your mouse scroll wheel. Right now, the only thing that you can do using your mouse scroll wheel while aiming down sight is changing your weapon, which is not something that you want to do most of the time when you're ADS anyway. It's something that I thought of it because I used to play the Splinter Cell games back in the day a lot, and just using your mouse scroll wheel to adjust your movement speed, it feels really fluid, and if you were to do it while the player is ADS, then it kind of makes sense to want to do it at that time.
Yeah, it's a good suggestion. We'll think about it. I think we actually disabled switching weapons on vehicles when you're with that anyways too. So yeah. Anyways, go ahead, Nordic.
Yeah, I was gonna say we are 50 minutes over time. So, and I feel bad about Greg having to transcript 2 hours of talking. So we're gonna. We didn't go through AAS, but you have the feedback channels. Fuss reads them, Ross reads them, and most developer reads them, and I read them if they should miss anything. It will be brought internally. So it's not in the end of the world if you didn't get to say your piece here about something. Use the feedback channels if there isn't anything there, or if you have something to say that you can't, use journal or ask for something specific to me, and I'll make sure we handle it. Other than that, thanks for showing up, and have a great evening, morning, day, wherever you are in the sweet, sweet world.
And enjoy 12.1, because it's out now.
And there seems to be a loading crash for certain people. I'm just going to give you a heads up. So if you have that new crash from loading the game, we are aware, we're working on it, and that's why Norby is not listening to us anymore.
No, I'm listening.
Oh, okay. Maybe you should work on fixing the crash instead.
Nordic. About to get slapped.
For your information, Norby's actually my boss. I'm not a very intelligent man. Have a nice day, evening, gentlemen. Bye.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for coming, everybody. Yes.
Have a nice one.
Thank you to Fuzzhead for showing up, even though you're sick.
Yep, thanks.